Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Wednesday to you. This program, and it is a fully loaded program, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, a loaded show. Very busy hour number one. Let's get right to it. I've got two interviews coming up in the first hour. That'll happen. Sometimes we front load. The Open is coming up, and then I've got a conversation with Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers joins me in about 20 minutes. Right after that, a baseball reporter for MLB Network, John Morosi. Second hour's Open. Third hour, Dan Wojcicki, a national NBA reporter for the LA Times, will be joining us. If you know what you want to talk about, I would encourage you, even though I'm going to front load and have a couple of interviews in hour number one, I would encourage you to start dialing right now. That phone number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Jump up in here. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. Again, Aaron Rodgers, next segment. John Morosi coming up after that. Second hour is wide open. MLB playoffs underway. An update from the NFL regarding this weekend's action and the Titans game. I will have that for you momentarily. What I do want to do is start with the NBA. I want to start with the NBA Finals. Hey, did you know this? Did you know that LeBron James used to play for the Miami Heat? Did you know that? Did you know he's now playing them in the NBA Finals? Man, you want to talk about the ultimate hashtag revenge series, right?
Hashtag!
The ultimate hashtag revenge series. Am I right? Wrong.
Wrong.
Let me tell you something. Are you telling me that LeBron James is going to work even harder to beat the Miami Heat than he would have worked to beat the Boston Celtics? Is that what you're saying? Man, of course not. Hell no. He said as much yesterday.
Absolutely not. It's no extra meaning to winning a championship, no matter who you're playing against. It's already hard enough to even reach the finals, to be in this position. So if you're able to become victorious out of the finals, it doesn't matter who it's against.
All right, so if the Lakers win four of the next seven, the reward of the championship is going to be the reward of the championship. It's going to be about the mental and psychological battle they went through in the bubble to win that championship. It's going to be about the fact that they survived a 4.5 month hiatus and then nearly 3 months in the bubble to win the title. That's the thing.
Probably been the most challenging thing I've ever done as far as a professional, as far as committing to something and actually, making it through. But I knew what I was coming, what we were coming here for. Obviously, I would be lying if I sat up here and knew that everything inside the bubble, the toll that it would take on your mind and your body and everything else. Because it's been extremely tough. But, I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to compete for a championship.
That's it. And that's why you can't hang an asterisk on this thing, because of what they've all been through. And on top of that, again, I really doubt that a title would feel any less significant or any less special if it came against the Celtics as opposed to the Heat. Besides, for everybody wanting to make this into some sort of revenge series, does this sound like a guy who's got an axe to grind with Pat Riley?
When I hear the word Pat Riley, you think about probably one of the greatest minds that ever this game has ever had. He's won at every level. Seen a stat the other day that he's been part of a championship in four decades. This league is not the same without Rouse. He's a great guy, a great motivator. But someone that just knows what it takes to win. And he's shown that over the course of 40 years.
Now, you might say that that's just something he's saying, but I believe that he believes that when he says that. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't get the sense that LeBron and Pat are going to roll around, hang out, have a reunion, break bread, throw a few drinks. I mean, things did not end well in Miami. We know this. Both guys are extremely competitive. Both guys want to absolutely destroy each other in this series. We know this. But Riley wanted to do that to Boston in the last series, and LeBron wants to do that to anybody who's standing in between him and the ultimate prize. I mean, it's really easy for people to get all worked up about motivation in a series when the motivation is simple. The motivation is winning a championship. The motivation is going through whoever is standing between you and the ring. That's the thing. I mean, in this case, the ring really is the thing, not who you beat to get it. I mean, believe that. So in terms of revenge, I'm not seeing that. Then there's also what LeBron had to say about Eric Spoelstra.
If you just watch the Miami Heat, no matter who's out on the floor, they're going to play Heat culture. They're going to play hard. They're going to play together. That's what he's always been about. It's been you guys that's changed the narrative or has never given Spo his respect because he had D-Wade or he had myself, he had Bosh. But a lot of coaches have talent, you know, and it's unfortunate that he hasn't gotten his respect. And every time we talk about Spo when I was there and talk about how great he prepared us, and we all talked about his great plan for Spo and things of that nature, you guys always say, well, you know, you have LeBron, you have D-Wade, you have Bosh. Any coach can do it. No. Any coach can do it. If any coach could do it, then there'd be a lot more champions in this league.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of sort of bristle whenever that guy or any other guy goes to the "that's you guys" thing. You guys are the one who do that. I mean, he's right in everything he said about Spoelstra. I do remember when LeBron first got there and the first few weeks where he was carrying himself a certain way when Spoelstra was the head coach. Remember that? You know, but that's, of course, water under the bridge. They went on. They had great success. But this does bring me to my next point, though, overall. I'm not interested in hearing from anybody who is saying that this playoff run has proven, in fact, that, you know what? Eric Spoelstra actually can coach. This guy actually is a pretty damn good coach. This playoff run has validated him. And not only is he a pretty damn good coach, he might be a great coach. In fact, not only a great coach, you know what? The guy might be a Hall of Fame coach. Because what you're saying, if you're now saying that this run is validating him, is that you really don't know basketball. Of course, Spoelstra is a great coach. Anybody who knows the game at all has known that for years. And if you're just now getting around to that, if you're just now realizing that, you should apologize to him. Because this guy has been a great coach for a long time. Fact. I mean, exactly what are you looking for in a head coach? What do you need to see from this guy before you call him a great head coach? Player development? Because he's got plenty of that. Are you looking for culture and identity? He's got that by the truckload. Are you looking for great ATO plays? Check. Are you looking for somebody who commands authority, yet does not make it about him? He's got that too. When you make a list of NBA head coaches who matter, guys who can win you a game on their own, guys who can beat you with theirs, but also take yours and beat you with them too, then that's a very short list. Spoelstra is on that list. Spoelstra has been on that list for years. But if you want to make a real list, if you want to start to make lists, I'll make you a list. How many other guys in the league would you describe as great coaches? And then how many other guys in the league in the last 50 years would you describe as great coaches? And then in the last half a century, here is the list of coaches who have been to the finals more than Eric Spoelstra. And they're all guys who are one-syllable guys. Here they are. Phil, Pat, Pop. That's your list. Phil, Pat, Pop, and Spo. So don't come up in here and try to tell me that getting this Heat team to the finals is some sort of validation for Spoelstra. He's been validated already for years. He was already in the club. So this series is not about that. This series is not about that. It's also not about LeBron allegedly getting some revenge on a team that has almost nobody left from when he played there. It's about the fact that Miami is incredibly difficult to beat. It's about the fact that they do not beat themselves. It's about the fact that they can play fast, but you know they're probably thinking about slowing down the Lakers and making LA beat them in the half court. Force LA to make perimeter shots because the Heat do such a tremendous job of getting out and defending the perimeter. It's about the fact that if you go to sleep defensively, Miami does have a line of guys who can beat you from deep. And these aren't guys who get hot. They walk into the gym and they are hot, and they can throw a lot of bodies at LeBron. At the same time, Miami is running into a Lakers team with a ton of size. LA has got a lot of bodies that they can throw around, and they're pretty big bodies. LA is much bigger than Boston. Their perimeter defense, even without Avery Bradley, is still pretty damn good. And they've got Anthony Davis. Referring to a player as a, quote, problem has become a cliche, but Anthony Davis is a problem. He's a really big problem. And in addition to that, the Lakers have LeBron James, who also is still a problem. Oh, and did you know LeBron played for Miami once? Listen, I respect the hell out of Miami. I really do. I respect the hell out of the Heat. I expect them to compete hard every time down the floor on both ends. They're going to be a tough, tough out. But the Lakers are going to get it done. He might be 17 years in. He may not be what he used to be, but LeBron is pretty damn close to what he used to be. And when he needs to be, he is still the best in the world. It says here, there is no way that LeBron gets this close and doesn't finish. No way LeBron gets this close and lets his team lose. No way LeBron gets this close to a fourth chip and does not cash it. Heat culture or not. Lakers in six. Lakers in six. I'm calling my shot. Who you got? Who do you like? 1-800-636-8686. In the meantime, a few moments ago, the NFL released the following statement. Quote, the Steelers-Titans game, originally scheduled for Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, will be rescheduled to allow additional time for further daily COVID-19 testing and to ensure the health and safety of players, coaches, and game day personnel. Details on the new game date and time on either Monday or Tuesday will be announced as soon as possible. End quote. All right, so that just in. That is the right call. I'm glad they made that. According to reports today, another Titans player did test positive. So that makes four players, multiple staff members, and their facility is closed until Saturday. Like, there's no way they could prepare for this game, at least not for Sunday, without having access to their facilities. And that's not fair to the Titans from a competitive standpoint. And we don't know what risk it might run in terms of exposing the Steelers from a health standpoint. So in a situation like this, you have to postpone the game until it is safe to play the game. So that's not only the right call, it is the only call, and they had to make it. 1-800-636-8686. That number is toll-free. MLB playoffs are underway. I've got thoughts on the first night of action for the wild card rounds. That's coming up. In addition to that, I want to talk about the Thursday night matchup. Jets-Broncos, game of the year. Yeah, I said it. The Raiders are taking what looked to be a really good thing and jacking it all up. And I'm not talking about what's happening on the field. I mean, they got their comeuppance over the weekend. I'm talking about those some decisions they're making off the field. At East Bay Troy tweets, Lakers, Dodgers in playoffs on the same day just means twice as many car flag bags in SoCal. That's one way to look at it, Troy. Or you can look at it as the city of champs. Scottie Pippen has said some pretty dumb things over the course of his career, and he's at it again. That's coming up as well. So you've got your telephone number. Remember, I've got back-to-back interviews coming up this hour. I've got Aaron Rodgers coming up next segment. I've got John Morosi coming up after that. Then I've got a wide hour or a wide open second hour. So, oh, and a beef segment. Hawk, the beef segment. Don't forget about that. We do that every single Wednesday. What's your beef? Be thinking about what you want to beef about. Also, because it's Wednesday, the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 145, starring the Mad Dog, Mark Madsen, drops later on today. Got Aaron Rodgers coming up momentarily. And this, dear NFL, postponing the Titans v. Steelers game 24 hours is definitely going to fix the problem. Regards, musking up after a lung dart. Ashley in Nebraska. And she said it for me. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Ashley, you're on our radar. I like it. Aaron Rodgers is next. In the meantime, I'm going to talk to you about Capital One. This is no ordinary travel card. This is a travel card that lets you earn unlimited double miles that you can actually use. Miles that you do not even have to use for air travel. It is the Capital One Venture Card. And right now you can earn 100,000 bonus miles that you can actually use. Redeemable for things like vacation rentals, car rentals, and more when you spend $20,000 in the first year. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Let's hope it is the Capital One Venture Card. Limited time offer. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Right back at it. Let's not waste any time. Welcome back. In Southern California, I am live. I am Jim Rome, and I am joined right now by the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. You know this resume. Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP, two-time NFL MVP, eight-time Pro Bowler, member of the 2010s All-Decade Team. The Packers are 3-0. They're in first in the NFC North. They're hosting Atlanta on Monday night. He is a friend of the program. He is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, you're 3-0. The offense is putting up huge numbers. My man, how you living? How is life for you right about now?
Jim, I can't complain. It's been a good start to the season. Finally back on your show after feels like a long time off. Always good to get back in the jungle, get some of that good karma, buddy.
My man, it's about freaking time. It's about freaking time I got you to come back on, and it's great to have you here. So let me ask you this, Aaron. After the win over New Orleans, you were talking about how you and Matt LaFleur got into a flow with the calls. For those of us who have never been in that position before, how would you describe that rhythm and that flow? Like, what's it feel like when you're in sync and a flow together?
That's a good question, Jim. I think what it really is the anticipation. You really start to anticipate what calls are coming based on kind of the rhythm that you've been in. And that's a fun place to be, where you're hoping almost for certain calls and you hear them come in through your helmet. There are not any calls that come in that you kind of stop you or make you think, huh, I wonder why we're calling this. It was just a beautiful, beautiful rhythm all night of some stuff that kept them off balance, a lot of movement, had me on the run, keepers outside the pocket. We had a lot of play action. So I really, really enjoyed the flow, and it's been great. You know, it starts with communication. You know, we've spent a lot of time together in the offseason talking about ball, whether it's installs or philosophy or what we did last year, what we want to build on, what we'd like to get to. And it's been a really, really good start for us offensively.
Well, we're talking to Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. You know, you mentioned last season. When you and I spoke last season, you talked about how close-knit the team was overall. I understand, Aaron, that it's early in the year. It's kind of a small sample. But do you have a sense as to the chemistry of this year's team? Does it feel like it might be something special?
Well, you know, Jim, it's so much different this year. It's so strange just not being able to kind of do some of the things that we enjoy doing. You know, we didn't have the off season in Green Bay during our, you know, OTAs and stuff to do those team building events, to, you know, go down to Milwaukee and, you know, watch baseball games and basketball games and just the stuff that we've done for so long over the years, those really fun kind of hangouts outside of the facility. It's just been so much more difficult, obviously, with COVID and the protocols and trying to be safe and trying to, you know, get to the season first and foremost, and now to get through it. We obviously have seen, in Tennessee, there's, you know, been some positive tests. So we're all, trying to be smart, and it's tough to really have that off-the-field chemistry that is so important, I think. But on the field, I think it's been good. You know, we've really been gelling as an offense together, but definitely missed those fun, big team hangouts that we'd like to have over the years.
You know, it's so interesting, Aaron. I talked to a lot of guys, and I think both in and outside the sport, it's such a challenging time, and it's such a strange time and such a surreal time. It's really curious to me to see how people approach it. You were talking about finding your center a little bit during these strange months, during the offseason. What was that process like for you? And then when you looked within, what did you find during that time?
Yeah, Jim, I think it starts with a mindful practice. You know, that's kind of a buzzword lately, and a lot of people use it, and I'm not sure everybody knows what it means, or it's just kind of a cute thing to say. But for me, it starts with a meditation practice, you know, and I think the more that I learn to quiet my mind and to take time to sit in silence and find the relaxation, especially in the off season. It allows me to find those moments in the stressful times in life, the weekly routine or on a game day. So that's been really important for me, to kind of develop that practice, to be disciplined, and to find the ability to really quiet my mind and settle down and be able to focus and be present in the moment. And I think that's helped my entire life in relationships and friendships and all areas of life, just to slow down a little bit and to be more present. And it starts with taking that time for myself, and that's what I did during the majority of the off season. I wasn't watching a ton of TV. I was reading books. I was meditating. I was sitting in nature and enjoying just kind of being with myself and not having to be overstimulated. I think we're an overstimulated population. We need the instant news, instant information. We're swiping, we're scrolling, and I think for me, I just kind of took more time just being present, and that's allowed me to feel more centered.
Preach, Aaron. I could talk to you on that topic and never get to football for the next 2 hours. I think there's gold in that. Really quickly, when you talk about unplugging and not swiping and not scrolling, but reading, like, what did you read in the offseason? What kind of books?
Well, I read a lot of nonfiction. I'm a lover of history, so I enjoy historical nonfiction. I enjoy historical fiction as well, but this offseason was about going back and reading some old favorites, such as The Alchemist. I think it's such a beautiful story. Everybody should read it. I know it was on probably some people's reading lists growing up, maybe in high school, but just a great story about perspective. And I think perspective is so important to all of us in our daily lives. Every morning we wake up, we have the opportunity to choose our attitude, and our attitude affects our reality. And really, a lot of times, it's all about perspective, how you choose to look at situations. There's a book called Still Life with Woodpecker, which is a fictional book. I don't read a lot of fiction, but it's a beautiful story about kind of the same thing, about how you look at life and you choosing to not be a victim, to not be a victim of circumstance, or to feel victimized, or to be walking around life trying to figure out ways to be offended by something instead of controlling your mind, controlling your attitude, being present, being grateful for the blessings in your life, and using your perspective to kind of spin things positively instead of feeling sorry for yourself and having that kind of victim mindset.
We're talking Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about being mindful. We're talking about perspective. And I think that kind of brings me, Aaron, to the next point. Like, nobody would have blamed you, perhaps, if you came into camp in not the best of moods. However, that's not the case. Everybody around you and around the team said that you brought a positive energy. You brought a fun attitude. Where did that mindset and that approach come from?
Well, I think a lot of that is the refusal to be victimized. The refusal to... to think that this, something was done to me, or that to be bitter about things. A lot of those feelings come from insecurities. So it was dealing with those insecurities head on, in the beginning, and sitting with my feelings and what I was going through, and then getting to a place of peace about the whole situation. And I think with the peace comes the security that I feel confident in what I've accomplished. I understand, what this game has done for me. I don't have bitterness towards the organization or towards, anybody making decisions. I understand what it is, and I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm not going to be a victim because of it. I'm going to control my attitude and try and be as positive as possible and just be thankful that we're here, we're playing. I get to go to work with some of my best friends in life, and I get to compete. This is what I always wanted to do when I was a kid. And instead of focusing on, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to finish as a Packer, or, they drafted, a replacement. Like, who cares? That has nothing that only affects me if I allow it to affect me. And I've just focused on the gratitude I have for being able to play a long career, to still be healthy, to still do what I love. And that it's allowed me to just stay present and be, be super excited about being back at work, being back with the guys and doing what I love.
Aaron Rodgers joining us. I mean, it's so candid, and it's so real, and it's so honest, and it brings me around to something that Mercedes Lewis had said. He said, quote, when you're in a position that Aaron is in, and you've done so much, and you've accomplished so much in his life and in this league, MVPs, Super Bowls, there's no reason to be insecure or unsure of anything. Him and I have had conversations about it. We text about it all the time. Aaron is in control of his process. End of quote. So it seems to me, Aaron, like the things you're talking about, these are the things that pretty much all of us in any walk of life want, right? We want to be in control of our process. What's it mean to be in control of the process? And then how do you go about doing that?
Well, I appreciate those comments from Mercedes. He is, he's got some great wisdom. I really enjoy our conversations. You know, he has been through a lot in his own life and learned a lot of lessons. I think, you know, part of the beauty in life is the interactions that we have and the relationships we can form. And there's so many people to learn from. You know, I've said it a few times. I heard this from a friend, but there's a reason that silent and listen have the exact same letters. And I think in life, people want to, there's so much conversation. They want to be the ones talking. They don't listen to understand. They listen to respond. And for me, I think a lot of my growth and my learning has been from listening and from talking to guys like Mercedes, listening to what they have to say, their life experiences, learning from them, trying to understand what they've been through and how I can apply some of those lessons to my own life. It's a lot of it's about being present. I think there's fear and insecurity a lot of times when you think too much on the past or on the future and what things look like, and it takes you away from being able to sit in the present, because in the present you can look around and you can see the blessings, you can have gratitude, you can see the opportunities around you to impact people, to connect with people, to work on yourself. A lot of times we get so caught up in what's happened before or what are we going to do tomorrow or down the road that we miss out on the opportunities that are right in front of us by being present, being still, being quiet, listening, and then contemplating and moving forward. I think a lot of people probably don't journal. I think journaling is a great way, for me at least, to process my feelings. And a lot of people don't have time or make time to process those feelings. And a lot of that is all rooted, in my opinion, on just this idea of being present and being in the moment and dealing with things in real time and then, you know, moving forward with the right attitude.
Hey, listen, the junkies, Aaron, are going to say, hey, great conversation, Rome. Did you guys talk any football? My feeling is this is an amazing conversation. And you and I have had a lot of talks over the years. This is one of my favorite conversations, and I'm not going to apologize for anything. I think this is fascinating. Before I let you go, I will ask you this. Sunday's game against the Saints defense was also billed as a game between you and Drew Brees. Like, how much attention at this point in your career do you pay to the other great quarterbacks in the game? And at this point in your career, do you ever try to learn or borrow from anybody else who's out there throwing it around?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I don't see why you wouldn't. I think that's, you know, I've accomplished a lot in this league, but you got to keep growing. You know, you got to keep adjusting. And I said earlier in the season, you know, I look back at stuff I was doing 10 years ago and picked up things. You know, I of course, you know, I think that's part of the game. I had one of the greatest to ever learn from in Brett Favre for 3 years. You know, why would you not pick up on stuff like that? And you look around the league and you watch guys that I've admired for a long time, and Tom and Drew and Ben, and then some of the young guys who are doing, you know, amazing things. I can't do the things that Lamar does, but, you know, Lamar and Pat and Russ and some of these guys. I mean, there's so many great players in the league. Why would you not, you know, watch, see what those guys are doing, whether you're watching them because they're playing the opponent you're playing that week, or you're going around the league and checking out things. I think that's part of the game. It's if somebody's doing something that you want to understand why the hell they're doing it or how they're doing it, then I think that's part of growing as a player. I'm not too prideful to say I don't watch other guys, and if they're doing something that I want to do better or I am not doing, shoot, I'll work on that for sure.
Aaron, that's sort of the way I look to you, from one California guy to another guy from California, but a California guy who went to Wisconsin. So finally, I did spend a chunk of the summer at our lake house in Eagle River. I need to ask you about this. You and I have touched base, but not on this. I need to decide, Aaron, what to do at Christmas. Should I give Eagle River a shot in the dead of winter, or do I not want any part of that, and should I be looking for a beach instead?
Oof, that's tough. That's really tough. I've always said, as far as the weather goes in Wisconsin, you know, it's really fun, I'm sure, to, like, visit the snow. You know, growing up, living in a more mild climate, like, it was always fun to go on snow trips. You go to the mountain, you know, you got the fire, you know, after a day on the slopes or whatever, you got the fire, you got the hot chocolate, you got the blankets, you got the movies.
The scotch.
And then at some point, you can go home. when you live in Wisconsin, the winters are a little long, but makes you a little tougher, I think. So, I mean, look, if you can come out for a week over Christmas, I'd say come on out to Wisconsin, knowing that beach will always be there, Jim.
Yeah, that, and I could cut a toughness groove in my brain that will make me a little tougher, where I could find that beach. He's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. You know that resume. They're 3-0. They're in first in the NFC North. And it feels so great to have you back, Aaron. I appreciate you. I appreciate the relationship. I appreciate the conversation. And it's great to have you back in the jungle, Aaron. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. You're the best, buddy.
No, you. Aaron Rodgers joining us. What a great conversation, man. That was deep. That was mindful. I really appreciate where he was coming from. And obviously the time that he's put in thinking about that. That's somebody with deep perspective. And they are 3-0, and they're in first in the NFC North, and they are hosting Atlanta on Monday night. When we come back, your thoughts, your reaction. John Morosi is going to be here either next or at some point, but you know we'll find John Morosi. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
You let me know when you want to be on. Time now for a sports update. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I think after that it goes without saying Aaron Rodgers is in a great, great place. He is in a great place. You know, if you had that thought that he was on his own revenge tour, that he's running on some fuel because they drafted his replacement, he made that pretty clear. Man, no, that's not what I'm about. I'm not here for that. I'm not going to show up like that. I've got this great perspective. Man, I'm happy. I'm doing what I love. I'm doing it with people I like a lot and respect. I've got perspective. I'm positive. I'm upbeat. I'm energetic. I appreciate it. God, I thought that was an amazing conversation. It's a Wednesday, so we've got the ATP, the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question there. And remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. John Morosi is moving to the top of the hour. I want to make sure he's got the real estate, the runway that he needs. And again, your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. And that, to me, that's somebody who has done some pretty deep thinking and continues to do so. I mean, sure, life's great when you're 3-0. Life is great when you and the head coach are vibing and you've got a rhythm and you've got a flow and you're in sync. I mean, this is all great, but it's so much more than that. Let me check out some of the reaction to the interview. Rick Baird 5 at Jim Rome, quote, "Damn it, Rome. That was bleeping amazing. Wonderful interview." I appreciate that, Rich. Let me just stop right there. I think, again, you know, I think a lot of you, and I understand this, of course, hey, Rome, you got Aaron Rodgers. You think maybe you might want to talk about the Packers? You think maybe you might want to talk about the division? Yes. Yes. And that was part of the plan. But as somebody who does interviews for a living, there are two things I bring to it. Number one, a curiosity. He was saying things to me that were really interesting, things that were personally really interesting to me. Now, I understand I'm not here for me. I'm here for all of you, but you want me to be interested. So I'm really interested in the types of things that he was talking about. And the other thing is, as somebody who's paid to do interviews, I am paid to listen. You know that whole thing he said about silent and listen? I am paid to listen and follow him around, which is what I did. And I thought he was saying really interesting things. So, yes, we talked a lot about mindset, mindfulness, perspective, gratitude, appreciation. You know, things that are all really important, especially now. And I just think that a guy that, you think you know, and again, like I always say, we don't really know any of these guys. When a guy like that, and I thought also, I thought he was really, really candid, really open. How many times do you hear a guy like that, a Hall of Fame quarterback, face of the franchise, you know, the ultimate leader, even reference the word insecurity or insecurities? Man, I thought that was so real and so honest. Boise Drew tweets, the interview that you just had with Aaron Rodgers was one of the best I have ever heard. Thank you both for allowing us to listen in on a real, genuine conversation. Much appreciated. I got to tell you, it actually, it fires me up that that's your takeaway, that you got as much out of that as I did, because I thought that was a really, really atypical conversation. And I mean that in such a good way. I thought that was an amazing conversation. Not even an amazing interview, an amazing conversation with a guy who let us in. Didn't come on, didn't spit cliches, didn't say what he was supposed to say. Man, he spoke from the heart. He let us in. Anthony Owens tweets, pure gold. Interview with Mr. Rodgers. If I knew how to forward that to all, I would. Thank you. PJ in the Mile High tweeting at Jim Rome. Rome, you always say, we don't know these guys. Getting to know Rodgers like that could not have been more fascinating. Exactly. That's what I mean. He let us in. Juice Bellamy tweets, this Aaron Rodgers interview giving me chills. Appreciate that, Clones. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that was your takeaway. Most of you. Some of you. A lot of you. Shaq31685 tweets, we definitely need a Rodgers part two on the pod after that. Tell Ritt to mark it down. Finally.
Finally.
When Hawk picked him up and said, Mr. Rodgers, Adam Hawk, producer of the Jim Rome Show, thanks for doing this. Aaron Rodgers said something to the effect of, finally.
Finally.
He's good, man. He is really good. That's a really nice relationship. He has always, always availed himself to the program, going way back to when he first got in the league. So that's why when I say to a guy like that, I appreciate the relationship. I appreciate the relationship. Bucket Mabin on Twitter, quote, that's why Rodgers is that guy. At Wooden Laconic tweets, Aaron Rodgers is doing what he always does. And it's not going anywhere anytime soon. War the jungle karma. War the Packers making a Super Bowl run. Man, wouldn't that be something? Imagine, remember all that talk that when they drafted his would-be replacement and the talk immediately, and I was definitely guilty of some of this myself. Like, how do you not get this guy the help he needs? How do you not look at Aaron Rodgers, see how close they got last year, and know that window's not going to be open forever because Father Time is undefeated. How do you not get that guy as much help as you possibly can right now when you're that close and that window is still open? And how amazing would that be if they didn't get him that help and they improved upon last year and they did finish? That'd be the ultimate. Ed John Chat 1 tweeted, Jim, who was that professor you just had on? Professor Aaron Rodgers. So, like, on the one hand, I want to say to you, I am really encouraged that so many of you got so much out of that. But on the other hand, many of you got nothing out of it. Hence the following. Hey, Rome, that book Aaron read, Still Life of a Woodpecker. I lived it. Signed, Paulo Costa. That goes back to yesterday. Hey, why did I not know that Israel Adesanya gyrating and air humping Paulo? How did I not know that would jump today?
I come here to talk about the action that human trash did. The human trash did after a fight.
I like how he doubled down on the human trash. I come in here to talk about the action that the human trash did. The human trash did. After the fight.
The human trash.
I referenced that coming out yesterday or going out the door. You may have seen that fight over the weekend. Izzy is probably the single biggest star in the UFC promotion right now. That good. like that good, that charismatic, and was that dominant in a fight that many thought he might lose. He dominated that fight. And then after he won that fight against a really dangerous fighter in Costa, he styled it by gyrating slash air humping him.
On the ground and hump each other.
Thanks, Alvin. You're not helping him. Apparently, Paulo did not see that until somebody ran the tape back to him. And then a day later was really unhappy about that and was talking about the, quote, action of the human trash.
The human trash.
And then demanding a rematch. See, the problem with that, Paulo, is nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants that but you. Because that was not a competitive fight. You got flat out dominated. As far as Izzy celebrating the way he did, yeah, pretty much on the line. Geoff and Lincoln is in. Dear Paulo Costa, happy hump day. Regards, Israel Adesanya. Happy hump day, Geoff.
Hump each other.
If I had to project or try to predict which clone would come with that first, because I could probably think of 250 idiots that were going to come with a happy hump day, I would have picked you, Geoff, to come first, and you did. Do that, Geoff. Run around Twitter screaming, first. First with a really stupid tweet.
Hump day.
All right, when we come back, John Morosi, top of the hour. I moved him so I can get him the proper real estate that he deserves. That's coming up next. And again, my thanks to Aaron Rodgers. That was an amazing conversation. Hour number two, straight ahead.